I'm just saying, my house is built on 110 trucks of fill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a very big pad.
Yeah.
So I'm telling people, you're going to put up with some pain.
Yep.
Some real serious, I'm going to argue, what's going to seem like long-term, interminable pain.
Yeah.
And if you think palm trees are a pain, and remember, that road is not indestructible. It wasn't built for those types of loads.
Mm-hmm.
So all this sort of adds on and compounds both the physical impact as well as the psychic impact.
Mm-hmm.
And I know just as soon as I'm saying this, that there's a touch fuse out there that's going to get lit, and people are going to go unfreaking blue and not be able to tolerate that. Because once and if the city can commit to getting financing for this, we can't finance it ourselves. There's a commitment there. And it would be carried out. It wouldn't be stopped halfway. It wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't be able to solve all the nuisance issues that would come during that period. But people are going to have to consider painful sucking up if you want to make the improvement. If you don't, then don't get people's hopes up. Don't look at it as an attribute that you own and don't share. It's something the community has to get behind with, again, some painful inconvenience. And there's just no way around it. And I'm sorry. It happens with just about every little thing in this community where someone gets a little inconvenienced and just can't chill.
So how long will it take as a whole?
Probably 4 to 5 months. Yeah. If that's, I say that's based on bringing in by barge. Bringing in by truck may take a little bit longer.
You mentioned that one of the purposes is to protect the community against the 50 to 100 year surge, I guess. Will the park level elevation be
up? Yeah, maybe I should clarify. We're not planning to, the structure would be designed to be able to withstand 50 to 100 year storm. So it would not be damaged. And would protect the soil underneath it so you wouldn't have erosion in the shoreline in those conditions. It would not really offer any protection to what's behind it. So the remainder of the park or Miramar or the houses behind it. So, yeah.
And then, of course, just a comment about the palm trees. I live on Miramar, and I have a tree in front of my house, which is oak. It's not a big tree, but it's bigger than a palm tree. I don't see that the palm trees will present any major inconvenience in my view of the bay. Now, I would like you to pursue the idea of putting them on the property lines, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very good idea. Now, I'm just one person.
Charlotte?
I'm not a fan of palm trees, but if other people like want to pay for them, fine.
And there are other palms that
like
are faster growing. I mean, they may not have all the aesthetics, at least initially. They do need beard trimming and such. But I've got two palms myself that I started at ground level. They're more than 30 feet tall, and they're not more than 10 years old.
Yeah, there's Texas Sable and
Sable. They're not palms.
But there are a number of palms, obviously. Yeah. The cold sensitivity and their hardiness is, you know. Yeah.
Might have gone through the freezes.
Yeah, there's Washingtonia prolifera, you know, is a good one.
But I think you're right. When you try to buy specimen-grade palms, you're going to pay and pay and pay. So it may be one of these things which would be staged over time. You know, maybe a small number of specimen-grade palms and then filling in with smaller palms and mild. I'm not a landscape architect, so the aesthetics of that may just be totally offensive to some people having different sized palms. I don't know. I used to live around palm rows, and you know, they can get very tall. They're very big, 10 tend to be durable even in 60, 70, 80 mile per hour winds, remarkably enough. But when they're younger and growing, you do have to do a bit of horticulture on them in order to clean them up.
Well, and the big ones, I mean, you look at the big ones on the existing trees, I mean, they require, you know, they require dead bones taken off. I mean, they are a maintenance.
I mean, once they get tall enough, the beard issue is really a wind issue. It's trunk that most people don't like the scabrous appearance of some palms. Trunks, but that can be taken care of.
Well, the ones we have survived.
Yeah.
With not a lot of care, I don't think, from my observation. So there are ways to do it. You plant smaller ones, or you might think about, you know, one size and another size, and you know, they grow in time. You know, they grow. But from a tree on the bay edge, I think the palm, that palm, is probably the best choice. You certainly live oaks, you know, might be the next one, but live oaks, the winds, I mean, they aren't appropriate, I think, given the, if you want them to succeed.
I just want to make a point real quick. So we've gotten a lot of good feedback points here, and the intent of the meeting was to give this feedback. We not trying to present these designs as fait accompli. We're trying to get to that point. And we've got several members here of the committee, and probably I should ask everybody who's not a member of the committee to raise their hand, because I think that's more committee members here than
I'm
not.
Now part of one of the panels that you will be submitting.
Okay, great.
Good.
So, but I wanted to say, I mean, our intent was that these committee members are out canvassing the community between these meetings and getting feedback from you guys and from your neighbors and from everybody else, you know, so that we get the feedback and we can carry this forward and come up with, consensus design. And certainly there's, you can't make a cake without breaking eggs, and, you know, any type of major infrastructure construction like this, there's some pain associated with it, sure.
I'm not a committee member, but I'm there at all the meetings. Just getting back to the palms and the walk, the concrete walk. I walk my dogs a lot along Miramar, and I look for shade as often as I can find it. And those palm trees will provide shade. If you walk in the summer, it doesn't matter. If you walk right now, you can be looking for shade somewhere along the line. And they would provide shade, which is really needed on a walking trail. Thank you.
Welcome
to Overlooks.
Yeah,
I know.
Good. Now we got everybody.
That's what I was looking at. Good. Come on.
I think the primary purpose and intent of this whole matter was, or is, shoreline restoration and protection. Yet about 90% of our conversation here has been about palm trees and overlooks. We don't have the funding yet. I propose that we be more concerned about shoreline protection and restoration than the hell with the palm trees and the overlook if we have any money left over, then let's worry about those.
That's the first, in the list of your list, Larry.
Yeah.
Certainly the shoreline protection is actually, that's the primary first thing on the list.
And I think, where we're at, I would like for us to be able to design these elements into the overlook, assuming this is what the community wants. Design these in. We've got to look at what the cost of these are going to be versus the cost of the same stretch of shoreline, just as a rock revetment, and figure out what is that delta. Basically, how much do these add to the cost of the project, and then figure out, is that worthwhile or not. I think maybe what we should do is on our permitting process, we put these elements in as optional, such that we could, you know, do them or not do them, depending on the amount of funding that the community can procure. So, I mean, that's a major point that somebody alluded to earlier. I mean, we understand there's not money. Shore Acres, the 1,500 citizens of Shore Acres, are not going to be able to fund this project, you know, without significant input from outside, and that's going to require a lot of work from a lot of people to procure that. And certainly, you know, I understand that some elements add to the cost, but what we wanted to do is try and come up with kind of a more holistic vision for the park. That said, I think the palm trees and maybe the shade structures, benches, things like that, are probably not likely to be funded as part of the same type of grant that would fund the shoreline. So those would have to be elements that maybe there's other grant funds that would supply that are more park oriented, or, you know, maybe those are the elements that the city has to fund out of you know, the city's coffers or otherwise.
I think John had mentioned at the previous meeting today some kind of way of funding the trees.
Well, what I did mention, I was thinking about that a minute ago. I didn't mention that in my remarks. So this afternoon I stated I'm a past chairman of a nonprofit in Houston called Tree Trees. And our executive director, Barry Ward, lives in Seabrook. The city of LaPorte has provided us land behind the recreation building, back that way, I think, where we have a tree farm. And I talked, we had an annual meeting this past Thursday, last week, and I talked to Barry about Miramar Beach and the shoreline protection. I also talked to him about this other idea of building on the identity and of the palm trees. And I asked Barry, I said, I think that there might be an opportunity of a partnership. I mean, Trees for Houston doesn't come in and just provide all the money, and because we every year we have to raise money to fund our programs, but we look for partnerships to help with those. And Barry said, yeah, he said, you know, that's certainly a viable, you know, to be a viable project. Trees for Houston, the nonprofit basis is that you can plant a tree in the front of your house in the public right of way, and that the money that you give to Trees for Houston plants the tree in front of your house in the public right of way, and it's tax deductible for public parks, schools, parks, and public right of way. So that's what I mentioned this afternoon. For tree planting in the public right of way or in parks in the city of Shore Acres and palm trees. I mean, you know, Barry asked me, he said, John, you can plant palm trees? I said, yes. And we have if you give me a moment here, we have a late board member and one of our early board members, Kate Crooker, who was on the Planning Commission in the city of Houston for years. Wonderful woman, wonderful person who, you know, spent a lot of time thinking about the future of Houston. But she also had the heat island, if you know about heat island effect, which means you need more shade. And you need to plant trees in the cities that provide shade. And she was hell on wheels against palm trees because she swore, you know, they didn't provide enough shade. So she got the city of Houston shrub and tree ordinance changed so palm trees are not on the approved street tree list. Now, you can plant palms in the right of way in the city of Houston, but you've got to plant the live oaks or the red oaks or the sycamore. You've got to plant another tree. So anyway, that's just for tree planting in your public right of way and in your parks. That's an opportunity, and that's kind of what I mentioned. Yeah.
Oh,
wait,
can you finish with that conversation?
Yeah, I'm sure.
So anything else? Because I had a question about the shoreline and Shell Beach. Because it seems right, what I know historically is in 2001, we had a new Amity that spilled oil on our shoreline. And they actually dug out quite a bit of shell that was on Shell Beach at that time. So we lost some then.
But other than that, it seems to, I'm not going to use the technically correct word, but accretion, and I mean, it fills that beach, so it is stays, and we haven't had to nourish it,
mm-hmm.
or re-nourish it.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, if we extend it, we're talking about 100, anywhere between 50 and 150 feet, will we have to then add sand to the beach?
Right.
Or,
well,
And then I'm looking again at, what was Nancy's word, cost?
Yeah.
Life cycle cost. What's the life cycle cost then on the beach?
Yeah, so we will need to add some material initially, which I think probably most logically would be sand. I don't know of any source where you can go out and buy shell hash, which is what's there now, although over time that shell hash does come from somewhere. Maybe Dan as a biologist knows more than I do, but apparently there's something growing out there that gets washed up on the shore and kind of replenishes itself over time. So initially, yes, we would have to add material there.
Would we add it where there's still shell, or just where we're extending it?
Probably just where we're extending it. So we would probably add sand. I think this is about where the shell ends presently, and add sand from there out. And the two would get mixed together somewhat over time. The shell hash actually, it's lightweight, and it actually stacks up very steep, as opposed to sand, which lays a lot flatter. So, you know, over time, I think you get the sand and the shell hash up above. That's
do you think it'll stay there, or will we have to, like,
yeah,
10 years later, bring
right.
in
no,
more sand?
I do think that this area, that you're basically in the lee of the breakwater here, so you don't get any transport going from south to north. During the winter, when you get the northers come in, you get the big waves crashing here, you're pushing a little bit to the south. So it's kind of, I call it the roach motel effect, you know, the sand gets in, but it can't get out. And I think this area, even extending another 50, 100, 200 feet, is still in that trapped area where those dynamics are about the same. And I don't think that we're going to have issues. Now, you know, when we had the design or preliminary concept designs 10 years ago, we talked about beach nourishment maybe all the way up to the fishing pier, and then once we get, you know, into this area, I think we would have to have some kind of structures to hold it there or do occasional re-nourishment, etc. Now, if we add material here, it may build out to some extent further here eventually over time, which probably is not a detrimental thing. And I'm just taking some notes because we'll document this so we can kind of keep records for the Corps and other folks.
Good. Okay. When will be the next public hearing on this? Can you give us that date?
June 16th.
June 16th. We're going to meet again. We're going to have a very similar meeting to this one. June 16th. Probably at 7 o'clock, but don't hold me to it, at Houston Yacht Club. Definitely the Yacht Club, definitely June 16th. At that meeting, our plan is for Larry and his team to bring back a very more formally finalized plan for us to get final input from the public. I plan to publicize it a lot more for that meeting and hopefully get a lot of people there. Then after that, the committee will then probably meet one more time and put a ribbon around the plan, put a dump bow on it, and then take that for presentation to council.
I know that our primary purpose is for the protection of the waterfront, but I also think it is important to have these other plans in place to fall back on if we get the opportunity for some funds from other places. It's real hard to go forward when you don't have any conceptual designs or any ideas. So even if it was altered a little bit in some way, which I like the initial presentation, I think it's important that you go ahead and have these things, you know, it's like having contingency plans for the city and things. I appreciate the work that you've done for this.
Yeah.
Well, and two, it also helps that if there is other grant money that we have this plan so
right.
that somebody can say, oh, well, I think I know of a grant that will help
exactly.
get you
yeah.
here.
Exactly.
You know, if this is what we want. So I appreciate the fact that they've gone to all this trouble, and I love it.
Yeah, I agree, too. In fact, if you can't get enough grants, then you can pull back.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
If you go with the maximum up front and see what you can get, then you'll get more than if you cut it back now.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point I was going to make. We can certainly design these elements, and if we can't fund them, then you know the shoreline, we basically don't install them. That said, the cost, it would be possible to, you know, make this all rock and then come back later and add this some point in the future, but it would be more costly than it would be to do it at the initial stage. So we would certainly want to do these elements at the initial stage, at least the structure of the foundations of them, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think the comments about the quantity, the number of them, they're
full. It's unspeakable.
I think that, you know, we need to look at that, and it's not that long apart, and obviously the population of the city of Shore Acres is, you know,
right.
what the population is, and so you balance that with the quantity or the size of the amenity, you know, I think we'll look at that. I mean, we've already been thinking about it. Prior to this meeting, we've been thinking about it.
And for those people who, I'm on the board, and for the people who hadn't been, and this is your first visit, there has been heavy, heavy discussion about the parking issue, the draw from outside of Shore Acres, and what that is going to cause, you know, because we already have problems with it already.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why we didn't want to add parking, because if you add parking, then more people will come.
Sure.
And, you know, the nicer amenities get, the more people are going to want to come. And so, like you
but
say, maybe not four of those overlooks, but maybe two, one at either end,
right.
you know, because you're right. If you have four, then that just more people are going to want to come. So I agree with you, but it has been heavily discussed about outside people coming in and the parking issues.
I've seen the boardwalk. They have a lot of parking.
Right. Well, and Sylvan Beach,
sure.
all on down there.
We
so,
have a Ferris wheel.
Where is that going to be?
Oh, we didn't show you that.
At the hotel. So yeah, it has been heavily discussed and
well, it's a pedestrian park.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think we need to keep that in mind. I mean, that's
exactly.
one thing we all liked about it, and that's I assume that's why it was first put
right.
in.
And that's why we're trying to better it for us,
yeah.
not for anybody else.
Yeah.
But you want to be able to bring your kayak down and launch the kayak.
Right.
So you've
right.
got, you know, you can't really carry that kayak on your golf cart.
Yeah,
no,
but you can't launch that at the boat launch.
Did a kayak carry?
You would have to travel around the pier to get to the calm area.
Well, depends on the tide.
It was limit kayaking.
We had quite a few people wanted to launch kayaks at the boat launch.
Yeah.
Is the beach the best kayak launch?
Yes.
Yeah.
The beach is really the best place
to
launch.
Yeah, it's
the
beach.
Typically
shallow.
On the lee side of the water, the lee side of the river.
They call it Whiskey Bay. No, they call it Whiskey Bay for those who don't want to. Whiskey Bay.
Go ahead.
This is just my opinion, but I really like the corner step down there that is by the Shell Beach. I don't know how many times I've gone down there and I wanted someplace to sit, but I just wanted to sit down and not sit in the shells and not sit in the grass.
I agree. You can put your feet in.
And you can put your feet in the water. It's an access to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me. I really like that.
I think that's nice, too.
I thought
about grabbing a picture, but it reminds me, if you've gone down to Corpus Christi along the seawall along
yes.
the bayfront, that's
okay.
kind of what this would
and
look like.
And it doesn't obstruct any views.
Yeah.
It, you know, if you're on the other side of the road, you just look out there. I mean, it's just level.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that, and I think that was a really nice feature that you put in there.
I agree.
I do too.
Okay, is there anything else? Charlie.
Okay. I know that there's not as many people from Shore Acres here that we wanted, but it's been a lot of committee. So is there still, how are we getting public input from now until the next public meeting? Because you said we're going to have this online, so people are going to listen to it. So how are we going to ask them to get back? Or just come to the public meeting? Because it seems like it would be nice if other people are talking for y'all to have the information before you
I mean, by the point of the next meeting, and part of this whole phase-gated approach is
right.
Because, like I said, we kind of have a limited budget, and we can't really afford to go
right.
back and say, well, throw all that away, and we're going to do something
yeah.
else. So, yeah, over
like
the next few weeks, we really
like
need to
somebody were saying that a lot of people are going to comment on this. Well, it'd be nice to have a way for them to comment so that they
yeah.
get that feedback.
Prior to the
not
meeting.
At the meeting when
no.
they've already finalized the plan.
If I could make a suggestion, Jeff, something like this.
Okay.
Have them email it to jail and have him to jail summarize and forward to, you know, a single point of contact between engineering and us.
Jail's working. I'm the second in.
Well, vice chair, or can it just come into the city? I mean, and that be the gathering point?
Well, it could, but I think it would be better.
But it's best to disseminate the information among the committee and then.
Okay.
We can also copy Larry and Larry can.
Sure,
yeah.
We can manage
yeah.
it, but I would be more than
okay.
willing to do that.
Okay. I hesitated when I announced the committee. I hesitated to put each one of us our email addresses. I mean, mine's out there with the Civic Association. Everybody
right.
can get on me. But I hesitated to put your personal email address, your personal email address out there in the public view. It's accessible, it's easy to get. I mean, I can find it in a second.
There's always the possibility the city could create an email address to take input.
Not even. I don't even think that's. I think that's possible. Yeah,
it's readily doable.
Yeah, it's very doable.
And at Central Point, it would be on the city's website.
That's fine too. I mean,
And then even that email address, you know, Miramar Shoreline Restoration Group at City of Shore Acres .us. Will then be automatically forwarded to Diane's mailbox if she can do that.
Because really, you folks don't want to hear. I mean, this is my first visit, so I can't imagine the next one. So, I mean, at the yacht club, I mean, you're pretty much going to have your final presentation.
Yeah, yeah. So,
ready. You're not going to want a bunch of
right.
crazy people out there throwing all kinds of things.
Right.
Well, they can email them.
That's why they want Charlotte to fill
the room. The group has had an email dialogue around. Between us, we have gone back and forth about several projects and parking and all that. So, you know, it really is good to get input like that. You know?
And I could get that. We could compose something and put it in a Shoreacres news blast, and it'll go out to everybody that gets those news.
And so, there you go.
Yeah.
And you can tell them about listening to it. You can say it's online.
Right. Whenever it's posted and all that.
You can email your suggestions or questions to this. And it'll be answered.
Very, very doable.
We've got
I would just advise trying to get as much public input as we can as early
prior
as we can.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's two public meetings that are going to show up. That one is at Yacht Club, and the next is for the Army Corps of Engineers, where we've already got everything done.
Yeah.
And then we'll
yeah.
have people that want to change it, and we won't have the money because this grant is funding this work
right.
that they're doing.
Right. And that's it.
So, yeah, more public opinion, I think, now is better. And we have to reach out to people and really get to talk
to them. Speak now or hold your
Yeah. Let me talk about timeline. So we've got the next meeting with the advisory committee is next Tuesday, correct? Are we scheduled for the 27th of May?
I don't think so.
No?
That's a day after Memorial Day holiday.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like a propitious date.
I
okay.
don't think we do.
Okay, that's what I had on my calendar. But when are you guys, when is the next planned meeting?
I don't think we had one.
Okay.
But I know of it.
Because I think
we paper?
Yeah.
Because I think we probably need, after you guys have gotten the community feedback, you know, sometime in the next few weeks here, we need to get back.
I take it back where it is on the agenda. It is on the agenda.
That said, I've got an all-day meeting that day on another project, so if we push that date, I'm not opposed, but the following week I'm out of town the whole week until Friday, and I'm sure you guys have schedule issues.
Well, maybe
it'll take some time before we get any input back anyway. I mean, next Tuesday, we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
So I guess you and I, J.O. and I, can work with the rest of the committee to find a date that suits everybody sometime in the next two and a half weeks.
Yeah.
And that way that gives us a little bit of time by the 16th to develop what we need to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we could be sometime the first week.
Yeah. I'm going to be out most of that week.
Are you going to be out?
But that 6th, June 6th is okay.
The 6th is possible.
Okay.
All
right. Maybe you and I can talk tomorrow and give a date.
That sounds good.
All right. Ann, I'm sorry I found it. We're canceling.
It's all good. Okay, well, I just want to say thank you to everybody. I
thank you
all the good feedback.
That's
your
great.
Again, if you didn't find
anything, okay.